This podcast is a member of the Place to Be Nation family. Visit us at placetobenation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world.
Hello, Place to Be Nation universe. Welcome back to our monthly WWE reaction shows. And it's a big one tonight, as or this afternoon, or today, whenever you're listening, as we're discussing SummerSlam. I'm your host, Chris Zellner, joined as always by my co-host, the Oracle of the WWE, Devin Hales. And Devin, we've had some interesting pay-per-views lately, but I think that we can say this one was the most interesting of all, in a good way.
Yes, I think the outcome definitely was interesting. I think going in, it was probably pretty interesting, but in the aftermath, I'm definitely more intrigued and into the product a little bit more. I think it's actually been a pretty stale summer for the WWE in terms of booking and in terms of interest. And that actually hurt the build for SummerSlam because I don't think that there was a ton of interest in some of the matchups and angles, and some things were tiresome, and some stuff felt like a rehash of Extreme Rules or revamping of Extreme Rules maybe. But I think the booking was fairly successful and quite successful in a lot of ways. And I think that it's going to make for an interesting fall, I think, or at least hopeful for an interesting fall after tonight.
Yeah, and we'll talk about, after we talk about the show, how different, the fallout is, considering now that Hell in a Cell has moved up a month to September now instead of October. So we'll talk about how that may affect some of the booking on this show as we go. But a lot of matches on this show tonight. Of course, two-hour pre-show. So you can get 3 matches there and 10 matches on the main show. And still, there was talent that could have been on this show that wasn't. WWE has a loaded roster right now, even though they may not be using them the right way. But they got a lot of talent, and we'll see how this went here as we begin with the pre-show. And their first match of the show was Andrade Cien Almas and Zelina Vega versus Rusev and Lana. Of course, it's been built up on SmackDown in recent weeks. Aiden English has been involved in the finishes and angles. Not involved here at all, which was interesting in a way. Match was okay. It was fine. If it was in front of, say, maybe a couple of thousand fans at 5:30 in the afternoon. But the right team won, I think, and Almas and Vega. But they may have been, you watch SmackDown every week. Do you think that they were winning a little too much going into this? And maybe Rusev and Lana should have got the win here? Or do you think this was the right finish?
To answer that first, I think they probably should have had one win, with the help of Aiden, after he had, initially cost them. I think it would have added to the layer of him not being out there. Because he sent the tweet, he said, I was told I did what I was asked to do, there was a sarcastic undertone to the tweet, obviously, after the match. I think it would have been, came off better. That, for the obvious story they're telling there, if, the first time Aiden costs them, Lana or Rusev or, whoever, second time he helps them. Or, third time, maybe, I think, they did 3 matches. First time costs them, second time he does help them, third time, and maybe it's a little bit more ambiguous. And then, they do the deal here. Because I do think it was a little bit one-sided in terms of the storytelling goes for that. I didn't think this match would be great, but I also didn't think it would be the worst match of the entire show, and it was. It wasn't even a bad match, but I think it was the worst match of the show. Now, there's another match that I didn't think was good either, but it had more memorable spots and stuff in it, and we'll get to that. So I think that match gets the edge. This was the worst match of the card. Out of everything, in my opinion, and it was fairly forgettable, but you know, I will say I do like that they've kind of given the slow rise to Andrade, having him win the Sin Cara feud, and then moving up the ladder, and you know, he's looks like he's probably won the Rusev feud, and then moving him up the ladder. So I do like that booking a lot. A lot of people get all worked up into the idea that every NXT person who moves up should immediately be in upper mid card or main event, and that's just ridiculous thinking. And he's been booked, you know, very well. Not tremendously or anything, like, you know, it hasn't been amazing, but it's solid, strong booking, and they're moving him up the card. You know, Andrade is a great wrestler, but he's not somebody who's going to translate that well to the main roster audience in the crowds or on TV that quickly. So they need to be able to build him up consistently, and you know, he's someone who's going to take a little bit more time to get over. So I think that they're taking the right path with him. But yeah, I you know, coming in, I didn't think this would be the worst match on the card, and it was. But you know, I think it served its purpose ultimately, and I'm interested to see where Andrade goes now.
Well, yeah, I mean, and you know, to be fair, the best match on the show shouldn't be a kickoff match.
Right.
So if the first kickoff match is the worst match on the show, that's probably a good thing.
That is a good sign. That is.
Yeah. Where they go from here? This is the issue with SmackDown. You got Styles, but he's locked in with Samoa Joe. We'll talk more about that. We just saw Jeff Hardy and Nakamura, but Jeff Hardy's pretty much locked in with Orton. And Nakamura probably still involved as well. Brian and Miz are definitely still married together. Who are your other baby faces?
Well, I think if you do Ty Dillinger, that wouldn't work. Oh, no, I'm saying he wouldn't work. Because that's going down. So,
yeah,
I'm going to stick to the fantasy booking / rumors and think that still, I think they're, I still think Ray is going to eventually come over. After All In, and they're going to do Andrade Rey feud.
Well, that would be perfect if that happens.
I don't think that – I'm not 100%. Otherwise, I really have no clue what they're doing with them, because I can't think of any – it's really hard to think of any compelling baby faces, singles baby face. I can't think of them.
Well, here – they could do something – well – it just wouldn't work, though. But I mean, if they would think about splitting one of the guys from New Day off into their own little deal.
That literally went through my head about 10 seconds ago. But I just don't know if they're. I don't know if they're just. They're
never
going to
do that.
The way it looks. They're not going to do that.
I mean, the New Day could have multiple feuds at one time.
Right.
I mean, it makes sense to do that. You know, in fact, three guy factions have done that before. I mean, there's no problem in doing that.
Freebirds did that all the time. Did they not? I mean,
oh yeah, but shit, yeah. I mean, the Freebirds. I mean, they feuded with the Von Erichs. They feuded with Devastation Incorporated at the same time. It happened. But that's my worry with Almas is like, who is next? I mean, Raw is so loaded with baby faces that he could have a great time there. This is why they kind of need to do a shakeup at the SummerSlam too. They need to do a shakeup at the Mania and a shakeup at the SummerSlam. I think that would be best for the company if they would do something like that, because imagine Almas on Raw when you got Balor and Rollins and, you know, whoever else over there. Ambrose is on there. I mean, you got all these baby faces he could work against. You know, I don't know. We'll see. But Rusev's another guy who's, I guess he's pretty much in his spot, and that's where it's going to be. Sad. Sucks for him. So, at least he was on the show, though. Sheamus and Cesaro and the Usos, can't say that.
He was happy to be on there. He was really happy to be on there with the Cruiserweights.
Yeah. Speaking of, next match. Cedric Alexander vs. Drew Gulak for the Cruiserweight title. And this is the first Cruiserweight title match since Mania. Am I correct?
Yes, that is correct. Yep.
Yes. I like this match. I thought it was a solid match. Problem is, 205 Live Television has been so great this year that this wouldn't even crack the top 10 probably of the 205 Live TV matches.
No.
Which goes to show you how great 205 Live has been. But still, solid match. I was kind of surprised that Cedric retained the title. I thought Gulak winning the title would have added a little, you know, freshness to the brand, because they do need some freshness right now. They need some new names. They need to, you know, mix it up a little bit. And Gulak as a heel champion would have been interesting, because, I mean, the best guy on the show is Mustafa Ali, and he's already had his feud with Cedric Alexander. They're not going to do that again. So it's kind of like we're still running in place here. Unless they're saving Cedric's loss for Lio Rush, which could be a thing. I don't
right.
know. But Gulak looked great here with his American flag ties, by the way. I'm joked with Bix as we were recording Between the Sheets during that match that he stole Virgil's gimmick in Memphis as Soul Train Jones, who was like doing the Apollo Creed gimmick, but with wrestling tights instead of Austin Trunks. And yeah, I thought that looked great. But yeah, Cedric retains. So your thoughts on the match and the future of 205 Live?
I thought this was a very good match. In fact, what I really appreciated about it was that they worked a 205 Live style match. Because Cedric Ali was not a 205 Live style match. It was a WWE mega drama bullshit match that...
Yeah, the last one we had on pay-per-view,
that,
yes,
that both guys, especially Cedric, did not execute well at all. And I was pleased to see them work the 205 Live style. And a lot of that has to do with Gulak, and Gulak is... a guy who's going to work his style, which is kind of the Regal Finley. And, you know, those guys, when they were wrestling every week, were, you know, stood out and wrestled their own deal when they were on TV. So, you know, he's from that kind of kin of wrestling style. And that was a part of it. But I appreciated that they wrestled a match that you would see on 205 Live every week. It wasn't a great match. Like you said, you know, I mean, it was not, you know, something that would be, you know, like one of the better matches of 205 Live at all this year. But it was a pleasing match to see that they allowed them to work the match that you might have seen on 205 Live. The finish I actually thought was kind of neat. There were some cool little neat reversals there in the final seconds, and it was an interesting you know. Little bit there when they did all that stuff. I thought that was clever and neat. Cedric, I don't think is as over with the fans as they think he is. They don't hate him. He got some decent reactions during some big spots tonight. But I really think Ollie Ollie's the better option. As the champion.
Cedric's kind of colorless right now. Yeah. Don't you, I mean, do you see that? Yeah.
He is. And I think Ali, he's so good in the ring, and he's so good working underneath, taking a beating, big bumps, and coming back with crazy spots and stuff. He'd get, you know, I don't know if people would go absolutely nuts for him or anything, but he could get people, you know, from a main roster audience, you know, really into his matches. And he's the one who usually gets the fans going. And the main event of 205 Live, when the crowd's been there for 3.5-4 hours, by the way.
Exactly.
He's
yeah.
the guy who's able to achieve that on the most consistent basis. He's the one who should have won at Mania. And to be fair, I like Cedric. I think he's a very good wrestler.
Absolutely.
But I just don't think he's necessarily the right choice. But like I said, it was a very good match, and I was pleased to see that they worked the kind of style of match you would see on the weekly show.
Yeah, absolutely. And Ali, Buddy Murphy, you know, guys like that who have just been busting ass. They need to be in the mix too. And
yes,
you know, it's just. Cedric's held the title since Mania, and I know that that's not really very long in a way. It's not even 5 months, but it feels
yes.
long.
yes.
it feels long, so, you know, we'll see where they go from here. All right, next match, Raw Tag Titles, the B Team versus the Revival. And this was an interesting match. I was kind of unsure where they would go, but I kind of had a feeling B Team was going to retain, and they did. And, you know, nothing wrong with it. It was fine for what it was. Finish was interesting as they tried to, I guess, was trying to make it seem like the B Team fluked their way into a win. But, I don't know. And they retained their titles. So, hey, Revival got on a pay-per-view, so good for them. B Team, of course, got to do the little thing with Miz later. So that was a good blow-off, I guess, for that story, but... Do you think that the B Team as champions, you know, is a good thing right now that they're keeping the title, or do you think they should have done a deal where they took the titles off of them and went somewhere else? Or where do you stand on the whole B Team situation?
I mean, it's very similar to the Heath Slater Rhino tag team that they did a couple of years ago on SmackDown. God, I can't believe it's 2 years already. Jesus.
God, Amani, I know, right? Well, it's like that, you know, they're talking about Roman and Brock at San Francisco.
That's
Mania.
3.5 years ago.
Good Lord. Insane.
But, yeah, I mean, it's similar. I think it's a little bit different. I think I'm fine with the B Team keeping it because the way that they're winning, you know, the way that Slater and Rhino won their matches was it really fluke. It was more like overcoming the fact that you're a jobber and like a – and winning because you're proving that you're, you know what I mean? It was a different kind of story. It still had the comedic value to it, but it was a different story. You know, you felt like Slater and Rhino were like legitimately winning. And the booking of these B Team matches is clever. I mean, when they win with their luck, it seems like they're winning legitimately too, but I think Slater Rhino actually held the belts too long. I think it would have worked better if they had won the belts and kept it for a month and then dropped them, but they ended up having them for like 3 or 4 months. B Team, I think, can sustain this. I think this has a little bit longer of a ceiling higher of a ceiling in terms of how long they can keep the belts. But it's also got a ceiling too. Like eventually, you know, by the time, I don't know, we get to Super Showdown or something, they probably don't need to have the belts anymore. You can only do this stuff so much with a comedic tag team champion. But they're very over with the crowd. They got the song that everybody sings along to now, and they're fun characters. They had the fun backstage bit with Miz that I'm sure we'll mention here. In a little bit. I mean, you know, they're a fun team. And in fact, I'm actually really looking forward to their interaction with Roman tomorrow night on Raw because you know they'll do something with that.
They have to. I think they have the choice.
Because that's been a running gag the last month, which has been pretty entertaining. And I actually think they've had some good matches. The three-way on Raw was very good. Tonight's match was a good little match. I thought it was funny that they did they pulled the Giant Baba Rusher Kimura versus whenever they attack like the babyface's partner right
away. Yes. Hanson Tenryu.
Yes, that's always the match that I think of when they've been
1989.
Yes.
Yep. Yeah, Real World Tag League. Yep. Yes,
that's always the match that I think of.
What a match!
Yes, great match. But then again, like that's a weird match to do that in. I understand why they did that because, you know, it's the idea that B Team's still the underdog and they end up winning. Barely by fluke again, and the idea was that they're gonna get it this time with Axel getting taken out early. But I especially in tag matches, I really miss having a face shine in every tag match, and that's not as common anymore. Oddly, the face shine just doesn't happen as much in tag matches, and that happened as well in the Bludgeon Brothers versus the New Day, which we'll get to later. But I was kind of, you know, I always like to see a face shine, and I think it would have worked here with the B team, but because, you know, the Revival are great stooges, and they could have done some fluky spots with the B team getting offense or whatever. But it was a good little match, and part of that is probably they were strapped for time a little bit maybe, but yeah, it was a good little match, and the B team are fun, and I just think that, you know, they can probably do this a few more times, and then I think it's probably time to drop the belts by the Australia show, I would say.
The Raw tag scene is kind of like the SmackDown, you know, babyface roster in a way, because it's really, I mean, you got Wyatt and Hardy, which, you know, you've already done that. You got these two teams. Ascension, no. Fash Police, Fandango's hurt.
Slater Rhino,
you got Slater Rhino, which aren't doing much of anything. Titus Worldwide and the Altars of Pain, I have nephew. It's the Altars of Pain. You know, if they wanted to do something, that would be a team that they would, you know, do that with. But I don't know. You know, they kind of lost their way some, and they got to get built back up. And then you look at the way SmackDown is. You get the Usos and the Bar just hanging out, you know, doing nothing, and it's just like, again, somebody needs to be on another show.
Yeah, it's
Usos need to be on Raw.
Weird. I don't get it.
It is. It's very, very, very weird. All right, we spent enough time on that. Let's go to the main show. Intercontinental title match, which made sense as the opener. Dolph Ziggler defending against Seth Rollins. Dean Ambrose returned on Raw Monday night, and he's back with his short haircut and his new muscles. And he's at ringside against Drew McIntyre, countering him. And this match was interesting in the way it was laid out. I thought it was a little slow to start off with, but it really picked up at the end of the match, which, you know, saved the match. This was a polarizing match. A lot of people really loved this match. ESPN actually rated the match of the night of the show. And this was a theme on a lot of the matches on this show. I saw a lot of polarizing thoughts. But, I mean, this was a good opener, no doubt. Like I said, it really picked up at the end. The right guy won. We even got some hardway juice. So, yeah. Well, I guess maybe the Seth and Dolph thing as a title feud could be over, but I think we may be just beginning with the tag part of the feud. So, I believe we'll see some Seth and Dean versus Dolph and Drew matches coming up, which is a good thing, because I think that has some really, really strong matches. So, it's good to see Seth with the title again. What was your thoughts on the match and the future with these guys?
The match was very good. It was probably 5 or 6 minutes too long. A lot of Rollins have been like that this year. Rollins matches. It was slow and kind of boring-ish at first. I mean, it wasn't bad, but it was just kind of there. But I thought they did a good job at the end, tying up all the past matches with some callbacks to the previous finishes, which made for some nice near falls. Rollins doing the inverted suplex DDT spot.
Oh, the Guerrero special. Yes. That should have been the finish.
That was completely nuts. I'm not really a huge fan of those spots, but they always pop me because they're so impressive physically. And it was a cool that he did that and changed it up on a bigger show, because usually he does the superplex into the Falcon Arrow, but he changed it up this time. But yeah, and I thought they did a decent job of teasing, you know, and building up the Ambrose McIntyre confrontations on the floor, especially early. I think they kind of left that dormant for a little while, but I get why, because there's a match going on in the ring and you don't want to focus too much on what's going on the outside. But I think they probably could have done a little bit more with that. Yeah, it was a very well executed finish, and you know, I think, like you said, the right guy won, and you know, there was like a split second where you thought Ambrose might do something to Rollins or something, but I think that's coming, but that's not coming for a few months. Ambrose and Rollins are going to do the tag team deal for a little bit, and then I think we might get a turn. Maybe in the next couple of months, but not now. But yeah, I thought it was a very strong opener.
I kind of don't want to see a turn. I mean, I still think there's stuff to do Shield-wise.
Sure.
Down the line. So I kind of don't want to see the turn, but it
that's a heel look.
And Rollins
and Ambrose, look, man.
It's a heel look, yeah, and yeah. You're right. I mean, it could be where we're going.
They'll do the tag match at Hell in a Cell before anything, like, you know, it's at least at least a month.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. They're gonna have a tag deal for sure, definitely. But I just don't know. I mean, Ambrose is pretty popular,
right?
So it's gonna be kind of tough.
Rollins is popular too. I know someone who's really popular, and it'd be tough to turn him heel. Oh we'll get to that later.
We'll talk about that in a few minutes. But yeah, I mean, that's probably where they're gonna end up going. So we'll see what happens. But I'm ready for Drew to break away and do his own thing.
Me too.
because he needs to be in that scene. He definitely needs to be in the scene. We get the Bellas backstage talking about they're gonna be watching Rousey and Alexa at ringside. Now it had been reported yesterday. Dave Meltzer was one of the ones who reported it that the main event for Evolution was going to be Rousey versus Nikki. And, we'll talk about that later on as there was a little interaction later on in the show. Bludgeon Brothers defending the SmackDown Tag Titles against Big E and Xavier Woods of New Day. Kofi Kingston on the floor for the match. So we get the best workers of the bunch here. Short match, but hey, they worked at a fast pace. They had a lot of good spots in here. I dug where they were going with this. It looked like it was building up to something. And then we got the finish. Rowan using the mallet on used the mallet to get the DQ. Yeah, use the mallet to get the DQ. And then they used the mallet on the guys after the match. But man, these guys were just going out. Big E's belly to bellies on the floor look brutal on both these guys. I mean, lots of hard shots, great bumps. Woods doing the elbow off the top rope was stellar. This is one of the things where I really was enjoying it, and then they fucked it up. And then considering another finish coming on later in the show, it made this one look even more stupid, because if you're going to do a DQ finish in one of your main single title matches on the show, you damn sure don't need to do it here. This should have been there should have been another way to do this type of finish, because this one, it looked bad at the time and then looked even worse an hour or so later. But this feud's gonna continue, and you know that I have no problem with that, because I think these teams have something they could do. I mean, they have some more matches up their sleeve, so good stuff. All right, your thoughts on the shitty finish and New Day and Bludgeon Brothers going to have another one.
The match was really good. I mentioned it before in the Raw Tag Title match. I want to see some face shine, especially in this match. The other match, I think there's a good argument for it, but this one I think it could have done some face shine, and you know, they just went straight to the Harper, you know, kicking Xavier's head off, which was a nasty spot. But, you know, it would have been nice to get a little bit of that, the face shine going. But once things got going, this got real good. I mean, they took about 12 bumps on the floor. That's not a joke.
Yeah, it was crazy.
Dylan's made the argument before, my brother Dylan's made the argument before, that they clearly have gotten great padding on those floors, because these people are taking bumps all over the place on that floor. Because, I mean, 10, 15, 20 years ago, no way people were taking bumps. I mean, the only guy who was taking bumps on the floor consistently was Foley. And, you know, he's a friggin' maniac. Like, no,
we saw that turned out.
Yeah. I mean, people weren't taking bumps on the floor like this at the rate that they – I mean, they've clearly padded those floors, and they're probably much safer to bump on now. They have to be.
Which is good.
Yes, it is good. Because it allows for it allows for the illusions of, oh my God, that's an insane spot, you know, and adds a little bit more of a dynamic deal to matches and whatnot. But yeah, the finish, there's some people who made some decent arguments that, you know, well, the Bludgeon Bros realized that the New Day could actually beat him. They're the first team that could actually beat him, and they had to find a way out. Well, here's the thing. I'm never a fan of having two, you know, multiple matches on a huge, huge show, mind you, multiple title matches as well, from the same brand as well.
True. Yeah. And Brian and James.
And in DQs. Like, I mean, people, you know, like, they could have done the same story with, yeah, I mean, it might have been a fuck finish, but they could have done it where Rowan hit Xavier behind their back with the mallet.
Exactly.
You know what I mean?
Exactly.
That's probably what they should have done, because originally I said, well, you know, they could have beat him clean and then attacked him afterwards. You know what? No. They could have done the mallet shot. Yeah, it would have been a screw, but it wouldn't have been a DQ. It would have been a screw finish, but it wouldn't have been a DQ, and you could have told the same story. Like,
exactly.
The fans probably still would have booed, but it wouldn't have been as much of a – there wouldn't have been as much animosity from them if it had been a 1-2-3 finish. Like, it would have gotten more of a – I mean, there would have been some, like, FU booking heat, because that's how, you know, a lot of crowds are these days. But not as much if there wasn't a DQ. But, you know, regardless, it was a great match, and I'm excited for this feud to continue, and I think they'll probably have a big time match set up for Hell in a Cell. And I mean, they'll throw anybody in the cell nowadays, and I'd love to see New Day in another cell match. So I'd be pumped for a New Day Bludgeon Bros cell match. Although I'm not sure.
I don't think that's gonna happen. I really don't. I think – how many cell matches do you think we get?
We got two or three last year. But the thing is AJ Joe, and we'll get to that, is going to be in the cell for sure.
Absolutely.
And the thing against it, Chris, is I think you're right. I don't think they're going to have two cell matches from brands. They'll have one cell match from SmackDown, one cell match from Raw. And I think AJ Joe is going to be the cell match
I kind of think that the Raw one would be Dolph and Drew against Rollins and Ambrose.
Yeah,
because I don't see Roman in another cell match. He just did one.
No.
So, and that would be the one to do, obviously. But I just think it's gonna be the tag match. So we'll go there with that. But we'll see. I mean, this feud is definitely gonna continue, no doubt. So maybe they'll have a classic match with a clean finish coming up in another show. We'll find out. All right, now is when Raw decides that we're going to take over the book of this show and show you what you're supposed to do. Braun Strowman versus Kevin Owens for the Money in the Bank briefcase. This didn't even go 2 minutes, and it shouldn't have went over. And Braun come out there, fans went apeshit for him. He beat the ever-loving shit out of Kevin Owens and just demolished him. Kevin Owens' legacy and his career is going to be the way he takes those bumps on the floor from the Braun Smash.
God.
Because he does it better than anybody does, folks. He's amazing at it. But, this feud's been something else. The whole feud, Braun's just kicked the shit out of Kevin Owens the entire feud. It's been great. So, they did this perfectly. I know that you've enjoyed parts of this as well. So how did you feel about the way all this went down?
This was great booking. Absolutely excellent booking and a great squash. Crowd was hot. Owens bumping is absolutely insane. That's what he excels at. The choke slam on the floor spot was a Foley level bump. Looked like a Foley bump. He sold it well, but part of me thinks that wasn't all just selling. That looked like that looked like that hurt like hell.
I'm sure it didn't feel good.
He's an insane bumper, and that was a great, great way to set up the power slam at the end. Great squash, great booking, and a nice little teaser for what might happen later on.
Absolutely, yeah. When you get a match like this early in the show and the Money in the Bank's involved, then, you know, the way the finish worked out, it's definitely – set up for what could be later on. And it kind of was, in a way. So, Braun was one of the most over people in the show, no doubt, as we'll talk about when we get to the main event. So, yes, this is the perfect way to end this whole feud. And Kevin Owens right now is in a situation where, what do you do with him? He's pretty much feuded with all the babyfaces on Raw. And it's funny because he's only been on Raw for a few months. Yeah. It's just a shakeup. It's like, what do you do now? I don't know. Weird. So we'll see. He's going to be in limbo, I guess.
Yeah, I guess so.
Now, to the other side of the booking spectrum, SmackDown Women's title, three-way. Carmella defending against Charlotte and Becky. And this was something else. I'll say this. Everybody looked like they had some type of pink on, honoring Natalya here, which is what the word was. So that's great. Natalya will show up later on the show. Carmella was shaky here, but I thought that she looked better than she's looked a lot of the times. But it was time to take the belt off of her. We talked about this before on these shows when she's had a ton of matches. She just doesn't need to be the champion. So they finally took the belt off. Now, Charlotte was injecting this match. It was supposed to be Carmella and Becky. And it was pretty much obvious that Charlotte had to win this match instead of what they were going to do. And she did. The fact is, she beat Becky to do it, which added an extra layer because Becky had Carmella ready to go with this armor and then Charlotte hit natural selection and gets the three count. So you got that, and the fans did not like that at all. And this was a pro-Becky crowd. And we got the long sequence at the end where Becky and Charlotte hug each other and everybody's like, okay, we're waiting. And then, boom, she just nailed him. And then she just kicked the crap out of her. And the crowd was just all over Becky. They loved it. But I've seen people on the opposite end of the spectrum on this one, which was, again, the theme for this show. Some people did not like this because they think that Becky should not be turning heel. And some people love this because they don't think it's really a heel turn. It's Becky. Everybody knows that Charlotte is not a good friend. So Becky is getting the revenge on her, kind of like a Bailey Sasha type deal. And some people say, well, they didn't read the crowd. And then I say, well, they did read the crowd perfectly. So there's a lot of conflicts on this. But it is interesting that Charlotte was booed so much. And people have come to grips with the fact that they think that she's been pushed too hard. She's like kind of like the Roman Reigns of the female side of things. And as a babyface, it's definitely going to stick out. When she's supposed to be a heel, she does her best work as a heel. She is not a sympathetic babyface. Becky was. But now, but Becky is even probably more sympathetic now that she kicked Charlotte's ass. It's like, yes, finally, you did something. So, I don't know. It's going to be definitely interesting how they handle this on television. Where they go, if they decide to try to make Becky a true heel, or do they play the fact that Becky was just sick of Charlotte's shit. You know, that she's still Becky, but she's tired of Charlotte. So where do you think they're going to go? What would you do? And your thoughts on the whole match?
The match itself was bad in the first half. I thought it was bad.
Yes.
But it got pretty good. Everybody got the time to shine, and the crowd got into it. And there was some good drama and close calls at the end there. And look, Carmella was not terrible in the match. She wasn't good. I thought she kind of sucked at first. Charlotte was pretty bad in it, honestly.
Not a good night for Charlotte.
Not at all. Becky was good, but not great. I will say this about Carmella. She has a hell of a tope. And that's a good compliment.
She did hit a good one.
You know, I mean, she has a better tope than, you know, all the men, for example.
Most of them, yes.
Tozawa, you know. Like, I mean, her Tope isn't quite as impactful as Ember's because her body's smaller, but that was one hell of a Tope. You know, I'll give her that. I mean, it seems like an underhanded compliment, but it really isn't. I mean, that was a great spot. She hit it. It was her big spot. I actually thought they did a pretty good job of, you know, I thought about it after the match and after the beatdown and stuff. You know, Charlotte was too focused. I mean, she ended up winning because at the end of the day, she stole the win from Becky and played up the story and whatnot about inserting herself into the match and whatever. But I thought it did a good job of Charlotte was too focused on appeasing Becky and trying to be buddies with Becky in the match. And Becky just wanted to,
she was patronizing
yes,
Becky.
She was patronizing Becky, too worried about like being buddies with Becky and stuff, and like then she ends up attacking her at the end of the match. After you know pinning her, you know, and basically stealing the win from her. You know, Charlotte's over here, you know, pretending that they're friends the whole match, then, you know, basically steals the win from her. And I thought Becky did a good job character-wise of, I just want to win the title the entire match.
Yep.
And so I thought that was good storytelling of Charlotte, like, you know, in those early exchanges, like, I didn't slap you in the, I mean, it was kind of bad acting, but, like, it was well done in terms of consistent with character and the story and whatnot. And Charlotte as champion is annoying to me at this point. Babyface Charlotte
as
champion
a babyface, absolutely.
Is
yeah.
Even worse. God, it's bad. I hope it's just Becky. Becky's justified in her attack.
Absolutely.
From a kayfabe perspective, there's no question.
Charlotte's deal comes off as, I can't let you do this. I have to be the champion.
Yes.
You know, there's no way you, I got to be the champion, not you. I don't care if you're my friend or
yes,
not.
Yes, absolutely. Which is actually pretty strong storytelling.
Yeah.
The beatdown was great. The crowd was amusing. It was funny to see Charlotte cry and get yelled and get, you know, belittled. As a babyface, that was just she's the most frustrating character in WWE to me. She actually is probably she's an extremely nice person outside of the ring by all accounts, but man, her character as a babyface stinks bad. I wish the absolute worst for Charlotte Flair, the character.
Yeah, she's one of these that she doesn't need to be babyface. She's just be
yes,
heel.
Absolutely. She's an excellent.
There's some people that don't need to be babyface.
Right. There are times she annoyed me as a heel. I thought she tried too hard in her promo sometimes, but she's when she's on as a heel, she's excellent. As a babyface, she's so bad. Like she's the least sympathetic babyface, maybe on the entire roster. Like she's just not good at it at all. I think they'll build to a big time title match with her and Becky at Evolution. I think they'll probably have a match, they might have a match at Hell in a Cell. And then I think they'll have maybe a blow off stipulation match at Evolution. I think that'll probably happen there. It wouldn't shock me if they had a second match at Super Showdown in Australia too. And give them a 3-match series. I know I'm.
Well, here's the thing. Here's the thing with this whole situation. I mean, they're obviously going to do some type of thing with the horsewomen versus horsewomen. That's going to happen. So, I mean, the fact you do this turn, I mean, we'll see. I mean, they did the Bayley Sasha thing where they brought them back together
right,
quickly.
Right, right.
So
I mean, it's possible.
They could always happen.
And I actually think it makes it more interesting if they do the horsemen versus horsewomen with the women on the teams or the people on the teams, you know, not. You know, some people not getting along. I actually think it makes it a little bit more interesting of a dynamic.
It adds an extra layer, yeah.
But, yeah, I mean, it's weird. I kind of went on and on. But at the end of the day, I think the match was fine. It was okay. It was bad at first. Got, pretty decent at the end. And I'm torn on the Becky angle. I both loved and hated it. I would be really annoyed if she actually did turn heel and this was actually a heel turn. But you know, I do think the matches in Feud will be pretty good, even if it's a heel Becky versus face Charlotte. Because I think they have good chemistry in the ring, and I think they'd have good matches. I think it would be much better the other way. And like you said, we still don't know if it was a Becky heel turn. I kind of think it was, but I mean, we don't know yet.
She kind of acted like it at the end. She's walking on the ramp. She had did. This little swag
they'll,
going.
They'll give her a promo, and we'll know in the promo on Tuesday.
We'll
know for sure. And I'm kind of inclined to agree with you. I think it probably was a full heel turn, which kind of is I think that's a very, very bad decision, but,
fans wanted it though. I mean, they went nuts with that
they,
shit.
They wanted Charlotte to get beat up at least. I'll admit that. But yeah.
Well, no matter what, even if she's against Charlotte, she's going to get cheered.
Yes.
If they put her against other baby faces, how is that going to go? But you look at the baby face women on SmackDown, this Asuka and Naomi.
Right.
Who can't get on television right now. So it's kind of
They'd cheer Naomi over, they'd cheer Becky over Naomi, at least on television, maybe not in house shows.
Asuka
and Becky, I think, would get a mixed reaction, like dueling chants and
that
stuff.
That would be an interesting deal,
But I think in pay-per-views and big shows with the smart crowds, Becky's always going to be cheered if it's a heel Becky versus Fish Charlotte. There might be some TV crowds that'll be more partial to Charlotte and stuff, but. And definitely some house show crowds too, maybe. I think it's going to be an interesting situation to see how popular Becky is as a heel, if that sustains. I'll be interested to see.
Well, here's the thing too, is I think that we probably won't be seeing the last of Carmella either because she didn't lose the match.
That's true. Yep, that's very true.
So we could have another three-way match with those three.
Yep.
So that could be a way to do it too. But I think after Carmella's done, you know, with this series, it's going to be interesting to see where she goes for sure because I don't know. Don't know about her.
No, yeah.
Don't know.
I don't know either. I'm the one thing I'm pretty sure of. I mean, I'm not. I mean we're not sure of anything. Anything can change in wrestling and a lot of it's just fantasy
booking
and whatever, but I'm pretty sure we're getting Charlotte versus Becky for the title at Evolution.
Evolution, yeah, definitely. That has to be a singles match. I think that's where you do the singles matches.
Right.
So we'll see. We'll see how that goes. All right. As the SmackDown section continues here, AJ Styles versus Samoa Joe for the WWE Heavyweight title. And boy, this one had some stuff going on here. Joe integrating AJ's wife and daughter into the angle, and they were there prominently at ringside for this. I don't know. It's kind of tough seeing that because it just kind of like when you know that these two had this history, it kind of, I don't know. It's weird. It's a weird situation, especially using AJ's kid in the angle. I don't know. That's kind of, I'm not too hot on that one. The match was pretty good, pretty damn good. I'm not as high on it as others were, but I thought it was a good match. It was one of the better AJ matches of recent memory, which is interesting to say because AJ's, you know, what he was, but he's not had the best 2018, that's for sure. And him and Joe should have solid matches together. God knows they've worked each other many times, so. They had a solid match. And the finish made total sense. And it was a fuck finish, but it made total sense because Samoa Joe was talking about, who's your daddy now? They said, daddy's coming home. I'll be your new daddy. And AJ just fucking snapped and beat the shit out of him with a chair and went through the barricade. And, I mean, that's what needed to happen here because AJ needed this edge. And, God, he's been needing something to spark him. And we got it. And these two are heading for something coming up. Got to be Hell in the Cell, maybe, at the Cell. So, yeah, at least this is, you know, something that feels like it's going to be some type of program with heat. It's just, I'm not the biggest fan of having AJ's daughter involved. So, we'll see how that goes. But your thoughts on the match, the finish, and the whole angle?
I kind of enjoy these, like, a part of me hates them, but likes them. Like, these weird, like, kind of uncomfortable angles, I think are good when they're done well. And I think Joe's promo and Vicious character enough to where I've gotten into it. But it was a little, I mean, I think that was the point. It wasn't quite as disturbing, but it was akin to one of those. I mean, it wasn't quite as disturbing as say Mick Foley getting his head bashed in by a chair in front of his wife and kids, you know, like,
well, no.
But it was a little uncomfortable, but I kind of, you know, I didn't think it was, to me, I didn't think it crossed any line or anything.
No, it's just, I'm not a big fan of using small children.
Sure. And I fully understand that. And it's not like I'm, you know what I mean? I'm not like
totally. In that type of way.
Sure.
Now, The Miz, the way they've used his child, even though they really haven't, but the illusion of that is different.
Right.
But this is just kind of, I mean, if you the wife, okay, that's fine.
Right, sure. But, I get that. Yeah. That's like, for me, it didn't personally cross a line or meet a line, but I'm, you know what I mean? I'm not an advocate for using kids or anything like that and stuff like that either, really. But I didn't think it was, it didn't touch my chords, really. But as far as the match goes, I thought the first 5 minutes were actually awful. Because Joe cuts this vicious promo and then they go into collar and elbow tie-up and headlock.
I hate that. But you know what, though? You know what? I've been watching a shitload of 80s wrestling lately as I've cataloged my DVDs.
And they do that more than you think.
That happens a lot. Yeah. That did. It happened. I mean, the Freebirds of Von Erich is one of your most vicious blood feuds ever. And a lot of their matches started out that same
right,
way.
Right.
So it's just they can't help people can't help themselves. But that's the way you start most of your matches. And that's just it's a formula in wrestling. In a lot of ways. But you're right.
That wasn't the only reason I hated it. I thought the Samoa Joe, the slow paced Samoa Joe just sucks. I just think he's not at that. I get it, like
this was Kevin Owens. It was Kevin Owens' headlock.
It stinks.
That's not
No, it sucked. And then when they finally got the crazy spots, like when they started doing all the like the big power slam and Joe doing the knee leg drop from the top rope and then AJ killing Joe and the Styles Clash, like all that, like that was awesome. Then the match got awesome. Like it got really good. When they started doing all the big spots, I mean it was excellent. The sequence from the calf crusher into the Kikini, or the into the clutch was awesome. Just like a tremendous spot. The finishing bit with Joe cutting a disgusting promo and then AJ beating the living hell out of him was awesome. Got a great reaction from the crowd. A really well done fuck finish that worked and made sense. Made AJ intriguing and more interesting. I think it helps Joe. I definitely think they're working the sell. And I think they'll close the show with that match at Hell in a Cell. I think it'll be AJ and Joe in the actual main event.
That would work on that show.
Because it's kind of it's the lame duck show this fall.
If you're not doing Roman in the Cell, then yes, you need to close that with this one.
Yep, and it's sort of the lame duck show because you know you got Super Showdown, you got Evolution, you got Survivor Series. Now you know TLC in December is another lame duck, but that's 3 months away. You know, 4 months away.
Well, Super Show, we already see what Super Showdown's about. Sure. I mean that's Triple H on the table.
Oh yeah.
I mean, that's the vanity show.
Yeah. Yep. But you know that's. I think that might be the main event of Hell in a Cell, like the show closer. So, and if it isn't, that's fine. I think it'll be a great match, and it will be a featured match. I think they're definitely building to that. So, I was satisfied with the match, you know. I understand and sympathize with your deal with the kid, and that was, you know, the one thing I did think was maybe a bit much, I will say, is when they had the kid actually like vocalize something or whatever. Like, what was
"Daddy, you're bleeding," yeah. Which it makes you, you know, they don't do blade jobs anymore.
No,
but it kind of makes you wonder on that,
right? Right,
because the way she said that, you know,
right,
makes you wonder on that.
Right, but yeah, it was you know, but yeah, I thought it was really well done. The first 5 minutes I thought stunk, but once the match got going, I thought it was excellent, and I loved the angle and stuff. So I'm all for this feud, and I think it'll be a fun build towards Hell in a Cell.
All right, yeah. I mean, this feud will continue, and like I said, AJ got his edge, so maybe that'll make him interesting again. All right, Elias was up next. Now, Elias was supposed to perform at the Grandmaster Theater in New York, and the storyline was that WWF made him cancel his gig so he could perform at SummerSlam. So he goes out there, he does his spiel, goes to play his guitar, and his guitar broke. Now, of course, this was planned. This is no bullshit. But it kind of was interesting that was it.
Yeah.
Nothing else. Nobody came out to take credit. You know, you had thought maybe Bobby Lashley would have been involved. Bobby Lashley was on the show. So, yeah. Quite the odd way to end that segment. I think the crowd didn't know what to think. But do you think that they should have had this happen like this, or should Elias been able to perform a song?
I would have liked to have heard Elias perform a song because it's so entertaining. But if you know, let's see where this goes. I think they might be doing an angle here, so you know, we'll see.
Could be.
We'll see where this goes.
Yeah.
You know, there's good. Something to this maybe. So I'm gonna let this one slide in terms of because it's I'm not sure what to think of this yet, but. It was interesting for sure.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. After that, you follow that up with the Miz, meeting with the old Mr. Raj backstage, the B team. And he tried to boss him around as he normally does. And they said, "We don't need you anymore. We're the B team. We're going to go celebrate." And the B stands for Brian. So, yeah, I thought that was good to let the B team get over on the Miz there. Get a little revenge on him. So that was good. All right. Next, we get the best match on the show. Daniel Bryan versus The Miz. This was a very, very interesting match. In a lot of ways. The way it was worked. The crowd reaction to the match. The finish. Everything was so interesting about this match. Let's talk about the crowd. I don't think the crowd really wanted to boo The Miz, but they didn't really, I mean, they didn't want to cheer him a whole hell of a lot either because he's against Brian. So I think it kind of hurt Brian in a way too. Although the crowd was into all his spots, of course. But yeah, the crowd heat was kind of odd here. Then let's talk about the match layout. This is totally different than, you know, your normal Brian match. And Brian has definitely adapted his style since he's returned. And this kind of felt like your 2018 version of a Memphis-style main event. I know your brother Dylan mentioned Lawler Dundee, and it kind of felt that way. You got the wives involved. I mean, it does feel kind of like that type of feud here. And Brian definitely is being safer. We've seen, although that bump he took from the clothesline off the ring ropes there was kind of nasty, but he was fine. So we had that. Miz is great. He's so good. And I'm glad they did this style of match because it made him look good. He's tremendous here in this. So we got to the finish where Miz went over to Maurice, who was at ringside. We have the baby stroller, probably with no baby inside of it. And she handed him something there, which he would use to knock out Brian as he went for a tope. Then you got the pinfall. Tremendous finish. Because in your Lawler-Dundee type of feud in Memphis, when you got the Elias involved, Beverly Dundee would do some shit like that, where she would give Bill Dundee a foreign object to use to beat Lawler. Of course, that led to her getting her head shaved, but I don't know if we're going to go that with Maryse, but yeah, I mean, it led to something happening down the line, but I kind of think we're going to get something down the line between these two. Maybe at Evolution, we get a Brie versus Maryse match, or, you know, God forbid, we may get a mixed tag match. Who knows? But Miz had to win. There's no doubt about it. I mean, if they would have Brian go with Miz here, that would have been the stupidest finish on the whole show, in my opinion. Over everything. Maybe even over Brock beating Roman again. I think Brian going over Miz would have been the stupidest decision on the show. Because this program needs to be a long-term program. And the Miz desperately needed to win the first match. And to win it in a cheap way, which he did. So, love this match. Love the finish. Love the whole story about it. So, what were your thoughts on the whole situation?
This was an excellent match. Definitely a great match. What I like so much about it is that they worked the match that correlated with the storyline and the promos and the build. That's actually rare these days. And they did it in a way that wasn't as ham-fisted as, say, a Gargano Ciampa in their last couple of matches,
or
a Triple H Shawn Michaels. Interesting comparison there. I wonder who aged into those Gargano-Ciampa matches.
I wonder.
God, they're terrible influences. This was a very much old school style. They did the spot early where Brian was trying to punch Miz in the face earlier than Miz. You want to punch me in the face? He starts punching Miz in the face. Brian catches him by the throat, starts punching him in the face. Like, doing these Memphis-style punches. And Brian starts working the match around punching Miz in the face for the first few minutes. And that correlated with the promos and the story and him saying he wanted to punch Miz in the face. I don't think the commentary did a particularly good job a lot of the time. Corey mentioned some of the stuff a few times, but these guys are clueless sometimes.
And Byron. I want to say this about Corey real quick. I think Corey has gone a little too much towards the heel side of things on commentary when he used to be more kind of like the old Jesse Ventura way. So that kind of irks me a little bit, especially in a promotion that heels and faces kind of don't really matter anymore in a way.
Right.
So it is kind of heavy-handed, some of the stuff he does
on
commentary. But he still does a great work. And yeah, this was one of those instances.
Definitely. Yes. And then they did the other spot where a big part of this feud is, and you saw the video packages, those excellent video packages they did. Daniel Bryan said Miz is soft. He doesn't work hard in the ring. He's a soft wrestler. Bryan isn't a soft wrestler. He does crazy stuff. He's violent. The spot where Miz was doing Bryan's kicks and Bryan just leaned into the kicks because Miz is a pussy and doesn't have strong kicks. He's a soft wrestler. That's what that spot was. And Brian leaned into it. Basically then slapped the shit out of Miz and beat the shit out of him. That was literally a spot directly correlating with that storyline. That's what that was. And the same thing can go for when Brian was on his knees and Miz was punching his lights out. And Brian sold it very well, because when you get punched in the face, it's a fight. And Brian was able to overcome that and punch the, you know, was because Miz is soft. That's the story they were telling. But I also liked that when Brian would get Miz in submissions and shit and Miz is a smart wrestler. He's just a smarter in the ring than Brian is. And he's tough. Miz proved that he was tough. He kicked out of some big moves. You know, he withstood the beating. His chest. You know, I thought it was great when they had him look at his chest all bloody and he got mad. Like, it was sort of a in-ring character development for Miz. I thought they did an excellent job with all that stuff. I love that Miz, you know, withstood the figure four reversal and all these submissions and was able to get to the ropes. He was able to withstand Bryan's onslaught. And then, but, you know, at the end of the day, Bryan was a better wrestler. Miz is a heel, but he's also smarter. He resorts to heel tactics with Maurice as his last resort, wins by cheating. This was a very much a Memphis 80s old school style match. It was great. The crowd, I think you're right about them wanting to cheer for Miz and Bryan, because there was actually a very, very, almost even Miz-Bryan dueling chant early on.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't think fans know how to react to old school wrestling matches anymore.
Well, here's the thing. I want to bring this up. Since you brought that up, I want to bring this up. And this reminds me of NXT. Have we got to the point now where there's really not such a thing as heat on these types of shows? And the fans, like Ciampa, the fans are booing Ciampa because that's what you're supposed to do.
Right.
That's what you feel like that's the gimmick. You're supposed to boo him. And like his ring entrance, since you don't have any music, his ring entrance is booing. You know, when something happens organically, then it becomes fully co-opted and it becomes part of the show.
Right.
And that's where we are a lot with heat. There's not a lot of genuine heat anymore
in main wrestling. Right. And that match was worked around that in terms of trying to get genuine heat. The fans are so conditioned now to the big spots and the smoke and mirrors stuff, which is WWE style and kind of always has been in a lot of ways, especially the smoke and mirrors bit. When Bryan was on his knees, Miz was punching him. 30 years ago, fans would have been screaming for Bryan.
Yeah.
They were just kind of sitting there with on their hands, like, you know, Charles from PWO pointed out that's the first time he's ever heard fans not pop for a figure four reversal. They didn't care. Like, they just was kind of, whatever. Like, no, they pop for the big spots and the high action and stuff. But I mean, they pop for the finish. But they're not reacting to the spots that are done to get heat anymore.
My favorite is also on this show, and I forget which match it was exactly. You'll probably tell me that there was hardly no reaction for most of the match, and then once they started doing the big spots on the floor, I think maybe the Rollins-Dolph match. Once they started doing the big spots, this is awesome. This is awesome. You haven't been doing hardly anything whole show. And this has happened a good bit lately in some of these matches. And then you just want to start chanting, this is awesome, because that's what you feel like you kind of have to
right.
do. It's definitely interesting to watch the dynamic of what crowds at big shows. For WWE, Ring of Honor, anywhere, that's like that, to run those shows, and then go to an indie show, especially in our neck of the woods, when there's actually still, I mean, I wouldn't say there's actual heat, but still, you know who you're supposed to be cheering for the faces, you're supposed to boo the heels, you know, that you know what you're supposed, what you have to
right.
do. So, the crowd was one of the stories of this match. It really was. Again, it also depends on where they're at, too.
Sure.
When they do Bryan and Miz again, if it's in a city that's not a noted city for smart fans, then we'll see how
sure.
it goes. I'm definitely curious to see how it goes. But I'm not. I mean, the fans still love Bryan. They were still
sure.
cheering for him and hitting, you know. But it just there wasn't for a match like this. It's supposed to be it's the first time they've wrestled in years. We've had all these angles to build this up. There wasn't any heat.
Right. It was an excellent match, and it was tremendously
Absolutely.
Worked and booked. But the crowd, and that's not on the wrestlers. I don't blame them. Because
no.
I'll defend this match. You know, some people I think might have said, you know what, I'm going to get on the wrestlers. They in the agents, they didn't work the match that the Brooklyn crowd wanted. Well, so what? They worked the match that they worked the match to the feud's benefit, not to the Brooklyn crowd's benefit, and that's a big thing to me. They worked the match to the feud's benefit and not to the crowd's benefit, and that's fine with me. And I think that's actually great, and that was a great decision. And the crowd reacted enough. You know, they weren't sitting on their hands the whole match, but
no,
it was just I think it's just an interesting sort of philosophical or interesting kind of sort of psychology of a wrestling fan today. Look a little bit in conversation.
Oh, but, absolutely. Well, yeah, exactly. So, and we're going to get, you know, more of this to come. Now, how do you follow this? When you get back to the Raw side of things real quick, where they show you how it's done. Finn Balor versus Constable Corbin. These two have had so many TV matches, and this feud's, you know, this time for this feud to be over with. So, what do you do? Balor comes out as the Demon in the Shock. Nobody knew this was coming, but it makes sense. Every SummerSlam he's worked in Brooklyn, he's worked as the Demon. That's just the way it's been. And Corbin's been a thorn in his side. He's been an asshole. He's done and talked all this shit on him. Now it's time to shut him up as the Demon. So the crowd, who was kind of, you know, whatever, in the Miz Bryan match, lost their fucking minds for this. They were nuts for Balor. I mean, they treated this as a huge deal. He goes in and just beats the dog shit out of Corbin. Wins in like a minute and a half. Again, another squash that needed to happen on the Raw side of things to end the feud. So, Balor goes over. The Demon is special. And it was exactly what it needed to be. Thoughts?
Oh, this was brilliant booking. This is the first time the Demon King, Balor or whatever, it's corny, but this is the first time that the Demon King actually felt like it was a dangerous, more dangerous, better version of Finn. This is the first time it's ever been like that, ever. He's always won as a Demon, but this is the first time. I think he lost to Joe one time maybe, but I can't remember. But this is...
He lost to Bray Wyatt as a Demon, didn't he?
Did he lose to... I can't remember. That's...
Was it in last year, SummerSlam,
maybe,
when he lost to Wyatt?
Maybe. I can't remember. That's. I know he lost once, I think. But this is the first time, and everything about it was great. The squash, he puts impact into his moves, the surprise added to it. It made the Demon character look threatening and more dangerous and a better version of Balor, and that was excellent booking. And Corbin was tremendous, being frightened and terrified and trying to weasel his way out of the match because he wasn't that over tremendously because it made the Demon character actually real. Like it actually made it feel like this was actually a big deal. Like this was not the Finn Balor you wanted to mess with.
Balor won last year. We got that out of the way. Yeah.
Yeah, this was excellent. This was tremendously booked. I was very pleased with this. Very, very, very well done.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly what needed to be. Strong stuff. And in looking for the SummerSlam 2017 results, I know I'm going to get off track here. Looking at this card, it's amazing. Look at all the names that was on that show and not on this show.
Oh.
Listen to the list here. Jinder, Cesaro, Sheamus, Bray, Sasha, Big Cass, of course, along with the company. Big Show, Naomi, John Cena, The Usos, Tozawa, Neville, of course, Matt Hardy, and Jason Jordan, who's probably... maybe he's never going to wrestle again because of his neck, which is a sad story. Yeah. But wow, all those names not on this show.
Know. It's amazing.
Crazy. And we had all these matches. But yeah, so very, very great booking there with the Demon. All right, next we get Brian backstage. Interesting that there was a sign that said fragile near where he was sitting. And he had ice pack on. He's pissed off he's losing. He feels like his return's been a bust. Bree built him up. So this is what kind of makes me think they're going to do the mixed tag. I think they kind of have
I don't think they'll do the mixed tag at the Evolution show, man. You can't have men.
Well, that's what happened.
You can't have men in a match.
No. You can't have men in a match, but I think they'll have the match.
Maybe, yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah. Right, yeah. But they could do Brie versus Maryse there.
They could. The setup, maybe, tag.
Yep.
They could do that maybe Survivor Series.
Yeah, yep.
Why not? And then, I mean, and then do Miz and Bryan at the Rumble.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
As like a blow-off deal. All right, so we had that. Next, we get SmackDown's main event of the show, the U.S. Heavyweight title match. Shinsuke Nakamura against Jeff Hardy. And this was interesting as well because the crowd really didn't care much for the match in a lot of ways. They love doing Nakamura's entrance, even though he's the heel. And, I mean, this was one of the better Nakamura matches, actually, on the main roster, I thought. Jeff Hardy's swanton on the apron was complete fucking insanity, and he should never do that again. And Nakamura threw him back in the ring, hit the Kinshasa, got the pin. Randy Orton comes out, which everybody was waiting on. He goes around to the ring where Hardy's there laying, and then turns around and walks back to the back again. Total troll move by Randy Orton, classic. But, yeah, I mean, this was what it was. So what'd you think about it?
I didn't think the match was all that good. I thought it was probably the second worst match in terms of in-ring. It was pretty sloppy. I mean, both these guys are sloppy, but I thought it was a little bit more sloppy than usual. But Hardy's swanton put it over the top, like, and made it probably, I think it put it ahead of the mixed tag earlier in the show, but the swanton bump was insane. Totally, totally insane.
Just nuts.
God, he's a lunatic. That was just a frightening bump. And he does it. He does one of those things every year. I think like a year or two ago, he did a swanton where he missed it and landed on the stairs or something. Like, he's totally insane. Just a complete lunatic. Nakamura wins. The Randy Orton stuff is hilarious. I actually think he's been excellent as his return as a heel. His promos have been good. His beatdowns
him
have been...
Him behind the curtain on SmackDown was so awesome.
Yes.
It was creepy.
His beatdowns have been insanely vicious, like the ear, like pulling the earlobe. God, that was brutal. He's been definitely revitalized and become more interesting. And he's been wanting to be heel for a long time, and now he is, and he's excelling at it. But the match was, you know, but, you know, for the most part, it was inoffensive and got the job done in terms of Nakamura winning clean and furthering the Jeff Orton deal. So I thought that was good booking too.
Yeah. And, we'll see if these guys are still married to each other here. Cause I mean, Nakamura, I was kind of thinking Orton may do something Nakamura too tonight, but he did. Nakamura got out of there. So we'll see. We will see. All right, now we have the two main events of the show, which they actually had as the two main events of the show. But I was kind of surprised that Alexa and Ronda went on first, but it made sense considering what they were doing later. The Bellas were at ringside for this match. The crowd was interested in this match, too. Alexa is definitely a very popular among the smart fans. Look at what happened in Chicago at the pay-per-view there. But again, this was a squash match that needed to be a squash match because of the way it's been built up, and you've got to make Ronda Rousey, and she just tossed Alexa like crazy, high impact moves, and Alexa's double jointed, folks, if you didn't know that. I mean, they've done stuff like that before, but this is when it paid off tremendously with Ronda being what she is. That Alexa being double jointed actually could manipulate her arm in a way where it looked like Ronda was just fucking breaking her arm and twisting it and twisting it and twisting it. So that was great. They definitely lucked out there. So Ronda gets the win, which she had to get. Natalya came out with her and got a nice ovation wearing the Anvil's jacket from SummerSlam 90. So that was a nice touch. Then the Bellas came in the ring to celebrate, and the fans booed them. So they hugged Ronda, thinking, okay, maybe they're going to do something. But with Natty in the ring, I kind of immediately felt, okay, they're not going to do a heat angle now because, you know, the situation with her dad.
Right.
So they everybody left the ring, and then Ronda went over to her husband, Travis Brown, and hugged on him. And again, this was another Raw situation. That they had the exact perfect thing they should have done. And they did it. So, we'll see what happens next. But Ronda is crowned the new champion. Your thoughts?
It was a super fun squash and the right thing to do again. Crowd was into it. Alexa tried to stall some, tried to get counted out a little bit, and Ronda gutted her in, and they did the comedy spot that felt really old school with the headlock, and Alexa putting in a sleeper, which was hilarious. And got a legit laugh out of the crowd and me. That was a funny spot. The arm drags, the judo throws, the twisting Samoan drops and shit were all brutal. And of course Alexa's got the deal where she can twist her arm in all fucked up fashion, so that was great. Great squash. Alexa will be fine. She's got Trish at Evolution. They'll build that up big time.
Well, Alexa's always gonna be fine because of how she can handle herself.
Right.
You know.
That was I think that's probably why they announced the match before Chris. The Trish match is mm-hmm. I think was they knew she was getting squashed, so they wanted to be able to set her up so that, because if you don't announce the Trish, I mean, she would have been fine and they would announce it eventually. But if you don't announce the Trish match beforehand, some people might have been like, oh, what's going on with Alexa? You know, and now that they did that, now you know, oh, okay, she's got a match with Trish. She's fine. Like, so I think that was smart by them to do that. It was a super fun squash, super fun match, and Ronda's the champ now. So.
Yep. So exactly what they need to do. And Alexa tweeted out there. You ever heard such a thing as beginner's luck? So Alexa's probably gonna be really, really strong as you know, coming off of this with her promos, and yeah, she should be fine.
And she will beat Trish clean at Evolution, I'm sure.
I would think so. And we might get it. I wouldn't be shocked if we got a Ronda Alexa rematch at Hell in a Cell. So
right.
So we'll see how that goes. Next, we get the main event. Brock Lesnar defending the Universal title against Roman Reigns. Both guys come out. The crowd actually was not as bad as it could have been. Both guys got about the same type of reaction, but Roman actually got more cheers than Brock here. But you could tell that this could get interesting as the match going along. Then comes Braun Strowman, and the place went ape shit. And Braun gets in the ring and proclaims that he's not like one of those cowards that cashes in on somebody after a match. He's going to tell them beforehand, I'm cashing in after this match, and I'm going to sit here and watch you in this ring. And then you got to face me. I thought this was genius, because now instead of putting the head of Braun, Brock and Roman, that we gotta win this match quick, because we got this motherfucker sitting there waiting on us after this match. So I gotta win quick. So Roman goes out there, balls to the wall immediately, and starts Superman punching Brock, and you got this frantic pace as the match goes along, and but you know, Brock makes his comeback, and both guys are just doing their shit. The crowd again, they were popping for stuff, but they weren't shitting on everything. There's a lot of, I would say indifference.
It was a huge buzz.
It was a buzz, yeah. It wasn't what people were thinking it was going to be. Right. But they got Braun involved, which I guess it made sense. He's standing on the floor. It was by accident at first when Roman hits him with the tope, and then Braun delivers the F5 on him, and it was so interesting to watch how Brock got so interested in the whole Braun situation that Roman used it to his advantage and hit the spear while Brock had the chair in his hand. Chair goes flying, and it's a funny visual watching it, because Brock gets hit with the spear, the chair goes flying out of his hands, and then the chair mysteriously bounces off and lands on his face, which he immediately throws off as he's down on the mat. And Roman gets a 3 count, which Brock kicks out of immediately. after the three count. So Roman wins this match, which he, thank God he won, but he wins this match because Brock was too preoccupied with Braun on the floor. That's crazy. And hey, they got what they wanted. They got the win for Roman. He beat Brock clean.
I like Roman's trash talk after the match too.
Yeah, Roman was so pumped up. Like, God damn it, you know. He finally got the win, you know. And that's great. Yeah, you finally got the win, but the dude that you just beat was standing there looking at the other dude on the floor. And then just turned around and you got him. So, hey, whatever it takes. But it's just funny to me how that was. And they had done this thing. The crowd was going crazy, thinking that, you know, Braun's going to cash in. But here's the thing. Braun threw that briefcase all the way to the stage. Braun was laying on the floor near the ring. So after the match, you know, Roman's doing his celebrating. And then on the screen comes, you know, the cry-on, you know, with the credits. So I was like, I started laughing my ass off. I said, oh, they're not even going to do the cash in or do it at all. I was like, that even makes it better. Because, yes. Because now Braun still has the contract. He hasn't cashed it in. And they can save it any time, whenever they want to do it. So that is a tremendous way of getting around what they did. So they played that crowd like a fiddle. I mean, they had them thinking that it was coming. And then Roman wins. And then it doesn't happen. And they did that so the crowd would not turn on the match. I love it. Is it dirty pool? Yeah. But hey, you do what you got to do to get what you want sometimes in this business from the crowd. And they did it. And then props to them. I mean, this was pretty genius. Pretty genius stroke of booking. And I had heard about going into this match, they had four matches laid out. Four different matches. And they were just trying to read the crowd. Well, I don't know if this was one of them, but this was the right way of going about this. And now we get Brock Lesnar out of our fucking hair, thank God, I hope. Which, you know, it's time. It's past time. Get his fucking ass out of here now. You know, it's time for the Universal title to actually be defended again and actually be important on television. And Roman finally got the win. So he finally, you know, beat the beast. But I love that. I love this so much. And it's definitely going to be interesting to see where they go from here. Braun tweeted out after the fact that, you know, he still got the contract. But he's got a new target. So we'll see, you know, how that goes. And let's remember, folks, Roman Reigns has never beat Braun Strowman in a singles match. He beat him He beat him in the Elimination Chamber. But that's not a singles match. So
I think he did beat him at Fastlane 2017. But that was right at the beginning of the feud, I think.
Oh, well, let me check on that real quick. But as I check on that, your thoughts on this whole situation, man? This is awesome.
This was awesome. Yeah, it was really well booked. I think. I mean, I'm not even being bitter. I think Roman looks strong. I mean, Roman won the match, and he looked strong. I mean, he powered out of Brock.
He beat him in Fastlane. You're right.
Right. Yes. And you know, he powered out of Brock's new guillotine choke finisher and pinned him 1-2-3 clean with a spear. But I actually think Braun and Brock were more protected. Brock was very well protected. But I think we all kind of knew that coming in. You know, Brock was either going to retain or he was going to be super protected in the loss. And he was here. I agree. The funniest part is when he kicked out at three after the typical Brock bullshit. And, of course, he got to beat the shit out of Braun. But at the same time, Braun was protected. You know, Braun was accidentally hit by Roman. And if Braun didn't get hit by Roman, Brock probably didn't get to beat his ass like that. So, you know, it was very well booked. They played the crowd they played the crowd big time. It was great. It was very fun. The match itself was a tremendous sprint. Very entertaining. Great smoke and mirror stuff. This was a very smoke and mirrors match, actually. It was really well done. Roman got the win. He actually got a decent amount of cheers after winning because the crowd was so jazzed up about the whole situation. I think Brock's advertised for Raw tomorrow. He beat the shit out of Braun. I think Braun's beating the shit out of Brock tomorrow.
Yeah, we get him out. Get him out of there. Yeah.
And I think we might get a Braun Brock match somewhere down the line, maybe next year. I don't think Brock's entirely done with WWE. I think he wants.
He's not done. He needs to go away now.
Brock's got the belt. I think probably the main reason they took the belt off of him was they didn't want to. They were afraid that if he goes into Cormier fight with the title and he gets his ass beat, that's embarrassing. So
he needed to have the gun. The title needed to be off of him. It was past time.
Right. Now here's the thing: if he beats Cormier, he's winning the Universal title back. By the way, he's winning that fucking title.
Okay. Do you think that, or do you think they wait and bring him back and put him on SmackDown for Fox?
Ooh, that's a good question. I don't know. That's a good question. I don't think he'll beat Cormier.
I don't either.
But that's I wouldn't be shocked if they tried to bring him back and give him a belt, the WWE title or the Universal title.
I think he'll be on the Fox brand. I think he'll be on SmackDown in 19. I really do.
Yeah.
I think they kind of have to have him, somebody like him on there. And I'm gonna be shocked if Ronda went over there too. You know, I mean, they're gonna have to do that.
Yeah, they're gonna have to do something.
And they have cachet on Fox. Both have fought on Fox in UFC. So.
Yep. You're absolutely right. But yeah, this was really well done. It was the best booked show since the Rumble.
It's the best main roster show since the Rumble. Yeah, no doubt. No doubt. As a total show,
I like Money in the Bank. Actually, I like that show a good bit, but this show is even better.
Yeah, I mean, it's the best main roster show. So, as a total package of booking and action in the ring, it was the best one. I just really love the booking on most of this show, and that puts it over top. But yeah, I mean, Braun and Brock definitely makes sense. They would go that route, you know. Brock doesn't need the title. And Braun going over and beating Brock, and Braun being the guy to beat Brock handily like Roman couldn't, there's another layer to the story.
Right.
So, yeah, I'm definitely interested to see where we go from here. And Roman, you know, I wouldn't be averse to see maybe Drew McIntyre get thrown in this whole situation with Roman.
Yeah.
I mean, that's something that could play out. We'll see. We'll see when it comes to who's going to challenge him from now. But, all right, this was quite the show here. So now, thumbs up, thumbs down, thumbs in the middle. Where do we stand?
Thumbs up. Really well-booked show. A couple of great matches. I think pretty much all the right people won. A lot of the future, the people for the future won. You know, the people who are going to be around and needed the wins got them. I think this was a very well booked show, and I think it was a big plus and a success. So I'm going to give it a big thumbs up.
As a total package, this show definitely gets a thumbs up from me. Was there any real, like, you know, amazing blowaway matches? I mean, Miz and Bryan was the best match on the show, I thought, but, I mean, no. I mean, as far as, like, in the ring, there wasn't, you know, that type of match. But as overall package, you know, building up stories and all that stuff and playing up future angles and playing for the future, this show did that, you know, pretty well in most of the matches. And the intrigue's been built for where we go from here. And they're setting up stuff. You kind of see where they're going to go with Hell in a Cell, Evolution, the Super Showdown coming up, which could be, a show that may not be in full canon, but still, I mean, they got stuff coming up. Survivor Series, of course, November. So
October's a loaded month, folks. We've got October 6th, the Super Showdown.
Mm-hmm.
We got SmackDown 1000, which is finally being advertised. That's live in DC.
Yeah.
That is going to be a huge show with they'll bring back old stars. I wouldn't be shocked if they did a Rock, at least like a Rock like a taped interview from the Rock.
The way the reports are, there is that Rock may do something next year. So
yep.
This could be the beginning.
That's What's the date on that show? That's the 16th, maybe, I think. October 16th. And then, of course, the Evolution pay-per-view. So, on the 28th of October. That's a big – they've got the fall. I'm really glad because for years the fall was a doldrum because football season. Now they're putting in effort, and I appreciate that because – a lot of times you can turn off WWE after SummerSlam and not watch until, you know, after the holidays.
It's kind of the opposite that, you know, the summer's been kind of a dull streak. Yeah, and now the fall looks like it's going to be a hot one.
Yep.
So different direction. But, yeah, this was a definite thumbs-up show. So, everyone check it out. It's a, you know, strong, strong show. All right. That's it for us tonight. Be back in a month. On September 16th for Hell in a Cell. So we will see you there. Devin, thanks as always. You have the not most knowledgeable opinions on this since you watch everything that's WWE. So thanks as always for being with me. And this is Chris saying so long from the Peach State of Georgia.